It is God's plan for every man to be blessed, for every woman to be blessed by working hard and providing for himself and his family, or herself and her family. The primary responsibility of the government is public safety, not to feed us and to clothe us. That's our own personal responsibility. Can you say amen? Something? Okay. Just pay close attention, because I'm always teaching the Word of God. You just need to know what the Word of God is. We live in difficult days when there's some really radical, crazy things being taught in other churches and in schools and our universities. We just need to know what the Word of God says. So be patient, pay attention, and let you see what the Word of God says. It's my goal to preach the full gospel, all of it. My favorite thing is to preach on faith and deliverance and healing and restoration. But there's a lot more in the Bible. And if you want to be healed and delivered and be healthy, you also need to know some key things. And one of them is just plain old hard work. Matthew chapter 25 verse 12. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man who, traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Everything we have belongs to God. How many of you know that the Lord Jesus taught parables to give us truth? And so every one of these parables presents truth. There's great truth in this parable of the talents. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. We are not all the same. We have different talents and abilities. How many of you know that? And you can't be envious of people who have a talent that you want. You have to be happy with the talent you have and the gifting you have. By now I know most of my limitations, and I have a lot of them. And one of them is I cannot sing with the praise team. You know why? They won't let me. You know why they won't let me? Because I don't have that talent. I cannot carry a tune in a bucket. They even asked me not to clap my hands in church because they get the whole church out of time. So I just pat my foot so nobody can see. Okay. And God blesses me. And God blesses me with his praise and worship. I love any kind of music that's anointed. And sometimes we're too picky about the style of music. What we need to expect is an anointing. And especially that second song they sang, I'm in the service, I'm in the anointing. I was back there, and sometimes in the back of the church. But that second song today, boy, it just blessed me to no end. And that's what God designs. He designs to bless us and meet our needs and enable us to do what he's called us to do, not necessarily to do everything everybody else is doing. Verse 16, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. What is that? Good old-fashioned hard work. God has designed man to work and be productive and competitive. This is what makes him fulfilled and happy. And when he's denied the opportunity to use his full talent, it really creates problems. We are designed by God to be creative, to be productive, and to do great things. You might say, well, I'm not talented like other people. Well, in your little world, you can do great things for God. It may not look great compared to somebody else, but it's great in God's eyes, because that's what he designs you to do. You see, some have the ability to handle more than others. Our secular universities demand equity. Not all of them, but a big percentage of them. Everyone is to have the same thing, no matter how talented they are or how hard they work. That is not God's design. And you see that from this one parable, verse 17. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also by hard work. Now, verse 18. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. In the end, we will be judged partly on our work and accomplishments, because idleness and laziness are not rewarded. They're just not. Income inequality is unavoidable because of different abilities and different work ethics. But China forces equity on everyone. They have taken away everyone's property. No one has any rights. They do exactly what they're told to do. Go to school where they're told to go. Take the career they're told to take. And they have no choice. They have started a little bit of a, like a stock market where people can make a little money, but they own nothing. So it means nothing if you don't own anything. So they have a little spending money to buy ice cream and that kind of thing, because they know people have to have some motivation, and that is some motivation they've worked in into the system, but they own everything, control everything, and if you get out of line, they just take you out in the dark and shoot you in the head. What a wonderful government. Don't everybody want to be like China? Absolutely not. Okay. They decide your education, your work, and your career. Jesus had no problem with income inequality. There is nothing wrong with having more than others, but we are responsible to God for what we have. Don't forget that. If God blesses you and you have a little more than others, don't boast and brag about it, because God worked it out so that you could be productive and have that money. But if he says use that money to help some poor people, you better be doing it or he may take it away. Advanced math is being outlawed in schools, many schools, not all schools, of course. But they would like, the secular humanists loved to outlaw all advanced classes. Advanced math is being outlawed in school because everyone is being required to be mediocre. They say advanced classes are racist. How in the world could that be? They evidently believe that black people are not smart. Some of the smartest people I know are black people, and they can do the advanced classes that I was never able to do. Smarter than me. So why shut down the advanced classes? It's not about racism. It is about forcing everybody to be mediocre. They don't want people really using their full skills. Listen, if you are not able to use your full skills and to be productive in life, you will not be happy. You're designed to work and produce. That's where your happiness really comes from. They say advanced classes are racist. That is ridiculous. They evidently believe that black people are not very smart. And I can tell you right now, some of the smartest people in this church, their skin is darker than mine. You know, and buddy, when they say something, I listen, because they're smart. They're anointed to God. They're gifted by God. So what in the world is going on? Advanced classes are really a good thing for those who really have that talent and that ability. I never was in any advanced class because I didn't have what it took to be there. But it doesn't matter your IQ, your ability, your talent. If you'll serve God and obey God, he'll make you look smart. Can you say amen? You can do anything God calls you to do. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph, which always causes me to win. I don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer to have God's favor and blessing on my life. You're talking about privilege. I have God privilege, and so does everyone in this room. If you serve God, you have God privilege, and he will bless you and favor you because you belong to him. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. He, you belong to him. The devil, even the devil has no legal right to touch you because you are God's property if you're born again. So, preacher, you don't know what I've been doing. I don't need to know. You are the righteous of Christ. If you've done something, he's convicting you of. Repent of it, and he'll forgive you and cleanse you. But you are the righteous of Christ, so live for him, serve him, and he'll bless you as you obey him. It is not about race. It's about forcing equity on everyone. The American dream allows us to max out our God-given talents and see what we can accomplish. The communists say, oh no, you got to do what we tell you to do. You see, the owner of the talents return to hold the people accountable. And know this, that talent, that ability, that IQ you have, you are accountable to God for the way you use it. And so am I. The one who had five now had 10 talents. The one who had two now has 4. The one who had one has 1. And who was it that got in trouble? The one who had one, and it stayed at 1. Now let's Jesus is telling this story. That's your Lord and Savior. I advise we take his advice. Verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Who did he address that to? To the two people who worked hard. The one that had ten, he produced another five, made ten. The one had two, produced another two, and that made four. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. And that's where you start. You start being faithful over the few things you have. Whatever God's given you to do, you be faithful. And that's really been my motto my whole life. Be faithful, work hard, do the best you possibly can. It's always just been in me, especially since I was born again, to be faithful and committed to do what I'm called of God to do. I will make you ruler over many things. As you're faithful over the small things, he will promote you. God rewards hard work. Verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came and said, remember, this is not my story. This is the story, the parable told by Jesus Christ. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I was afraid. Verse 25, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. There you have what is yours. And I can identify with that just a little bit, because when God called me and Dottie to come here and start this church, I came with fear and trembling. I was afraid to do it, but I was also afraid not to do it, because I knew God had called us to do it. So when God calls you to do something, you can't sit and speculate, do I have the talent? Do I have the ability? Do I have the anointing? No, if God calls you to do it, you step out in faith and God will take care of you. If I don't have the ability to do something, God will enable me to do it or do it for me. Verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Who did he say that to? The one that worked hard and made a lot of money? No, he said it to the one who's lazy. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You see, the owner said to him, the least you could have done was put my money in a bank so I could receive interest. God wants us to use what we have wisely under his leadership. You got to be careful with the stock market, but God can direct you to take the money you have and increase it. God holds all men responsible. And when I say men, you know I mean male and female. That's what God means. It says he created man, male and female created he them. So when he says man, he means male and female. We cannot blame our problems on anyone, not even our boss. Sometimes, well, that old boss is mistreating me. Let me tell you something. If you're truly serving God and you're working hard and you're doing the best you can, you're not cheating your boss, you're giving him more than he asked for. If he doesn't appreciate you, he can send somebody by that sees you working hard and say, I want that guy to come to work for me. I had to work my way through college and seminary, and so people were always trying to get me to work for them or to get in business with them because they saw I had some talent in that area and I worked hard. When you work hard and you're accomplishing things, you don't have to worry about that boss, because God can remove the boss. John Uchai, is he in his service? I think comes to the first service. He has been working with this company ever since I've known him for years and years and years and years. And he's had several bosses that mistreated him, mean to him, hateful to him, even racial remarks and stuff. And God fired every one of those bosses. And God has kept John in that position all these years, but his bosses have come and went. Why? Because he's serving God. He's not serving a boss. You listen to your boss because if God puts you there, he wants you to submit to authority. But at the same time, it's God that you're working for. Don't forget that. And I am not a victim. Never have been and never was, never will be. Why? My daddy cussed me. He called me every kind of name there was. He just had a violent temper. I didn't know he didn't mean it. And so it really damaged me. He said, you're dumb and you have no ability and you're slow. You'll never make it in life. You're a loser. He's just getting mad saying those things. Well, I believed it. And my grades dropped from A's and B's to D's and F's. And but I have never considered myself a victim, and I'm not going to be a victim, because no matter what happens to me, I can rise above it in the name of Jesus Christ. And when I was in high school, I read the book. And of course, God directs our path. And he led me to this book, Norman Vincent Peale's Power of Positive Thinking. He says, meditate on this verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What is humility? That's humility. I can do it. I can do all things. I can do it better than anybody else because Jesus Christ enables me and strengthens me. That's humility. Arrogance is, I can do all things. That's arrogance. But when you give God credit for it, that's humility. So God doesn't want us to walk around looking like a bunch of old, defeated, beat-up people or an old broken-down mule. He wants us to walk tall with confidence, believing we can do it and do it better than anybody else because of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I started saying that over and over and over. My grades went back up to A's and B's. I got my confidence back, and I started really believing I could do all things through Christ, regardless of my ability, regardless of my IQ, regardless of who I thought I was or was. I was able to step out and do things with great confidence and great success because God was with me, and I knew it, and I know it. So I'm not a victim. It doesn't matter what anyone has done to you. You can rise above that. I remember years ago, we had a guy in his church in his 50s, and he was always whining and crying because of the way he was treated as a child. I'm thinking, man, get over that. Get healed. Get delivered. And get out there and do something with your life. But people, they just choose sometimes to be a victim. I'm not no victim. No matter what the devil has done to me or tried to do to me, I'm going to rise above it in the name of Jesus. And you can tell by looking at me, I've been around for a while. It's been working just fine for all these years. I got saved when I was 11 years old. I did take 1 year off for bad behavior, but other than that, verse 28, so take the talent from him, the one that had the one. Yeah, he did not use it, so give it to someone who'll use it. And you better use the talent you have for Jesus. You better use the money you have for Jesus. When you even buy a car, you need to pray, God, is this the right car? That's God's money, and he wants you to take care of yourself and have a car, but he wants you to buy the car that he wants you to buy. Verse 28, so take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Whoa, boy, that's contrary to what we're hearing today in America. The secular humanists and the Marxists would call this income inequality, but this is the Christian work ethic. God rewards hard work. Don't let anybody dumb you down or tell you you can't. You live in a society where you just can't. You're oppressed. I'm telling you right now, nobody's going to put their foot on me and hold me down because I have God favor all over me, and I'm rising up out from under anything and everything people and the devil does to me, and I have for about 100 years. Verse 29, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have even what he has will be taken away, Listen, doesn't matter what other people say or think or believe. It matters what Jesus Christ teaches, and this is what he teaches, and he's still teaching it right now through me. For to everyone who has, more will be given. Boy, that's totally contrary to secular humanism. Dumb everybody down. Make everybody have the same income. Make everybody live in the same kind of house, wear the same kind of clothes. That is not God. God wants you to be free to get out there and accomplish your greatest dream. Just like little Joseph. Get out and accomplish your greatest dream. Well, capitalism's evil. Do you know what capitalism is? It's nothing but the freedom to get out there and work and do what you want to do. It's the freedom to go to school and get the education you want. That's all capitalism is. It's evil. How can being free be evil? That's all it is. You got evil people involved in work and producing a lot of money and for evil reasons. But that doesn't mean freedom is evil. It just means those people need to be dealt with. Now, that's what the government's supposed to do, is protect us from evil people. That's the purpose of the government, is to protect me and keep me safe and well so I can work hard and produce for myself. And that's the only responsibility I see for the government in the Bible. It's up to the church to help poor people. Amen. It's right. I like it when I get it's right, because I don't get that very often. Verse 29, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. God adds to the one who works hard and is successful. God is a capitalist and not a Marxist. He wants you to be free so you can fulfill your greatest God-given vision or dream. God wants people to be free to accomplish their greatest God-given ability and potential. God wants us responsible to him and not to the government. I'm responsible to God for what I do and not to the government. Matthew 25:30, and cast the unprofitable servant. Remember, this is not my story. I am just a reader. In this case, just a reader. And cast the unprofitable servant, the lazy servant, into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What we do with our talents has eternal consequences. The secular humanists and the Marxists hate this. They want to take the wealth of hard-working people and give it to the unprofitable, lazy servant. They see, now I'm not saying everybody's secular humanist, but this is what the secular humanists want. And hopefully Christians still outnumber the secular humanists. I hope so. In America, they see wealthy people not as hard-working, deserving people, but as evil, oppressive people who do not deserve what they work for. The Marxists say, you did not do this, your workers did it. But listen, the workers could not have done it without the skill, wisdom, and investment of the owner. Hello. In America, if a worker wants to move up to owner, he has the opportunity to do so. If you get fed up with your boss, go across the street and start your own business. In America, you can do that. You won't do that in China, and you won't do that in Cuba. You won't do that in North Korea. You won't do that in a communist nation, Marxist nation. No, 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 no. If you like your freedom, you better keep it while you got it. And it's up to you and me if we keep it or not. In America, workers are not oppressed. And they say, well, they are. Well, no, they because they can always leave. The American workers are not oppressed. They have opportunities no one else has in the whole world. A person can work their way up and own the company. If you don't like the way your boss is running it, work your way up and buy the thing. That happens all the time in America. The Bible tells us that we all have different God-given gifts or abilities. Some of these abilities pay more than others because they require more training and skill. That just makes sense. You see, the executive may be paid more because he is providing a lot of jobs for others and has more stress. So the guy installing the guy installing your AC unit, he gets paid more than the guy mowing your grass. Why? Because it takes more training and more talent and ability to install air conditioner than it does to mow the grass. So therefore, you have income inequality, but people get to choose. If a guy mowing the grass decides he wants to get training, become an air conditioner installer, then he can get the training and move up and do it. He's not oppressed. Nobody tells him he has to mow yards. Amen. Not in America, because this country is built on this parable of the talents. Well, it wasn't built on Christianity. Not so it was. And the whole economic system is based on this parable of the talents. If a guy works hard, he can increase. If he's lazy, don't want to increase, he doesn't have to. The only the people who work hard and earn a skill deserves to be paid more. You can't dumb people down and say, oh no, you can't install air conditioners. Well, you can in America. You see, this is why we have income inequality. In America, we have the freedom to study, work hard, and move up the ladder. If we want to, we can. You see, some just want to work a job and play golf. They're not interested in becoming a millionaire. And my father-in-law was that way. He's a great man. I loved him. Brilliant man. Good man. But he had a job working for a tech company, and it was, well, the school. It was a tech school where they trained people in different skills and things, and he was one of the supervisors and one of the teachers, and he was totally happy just to do that. And then during the week, one night, he'd go bowling, and then on Saturday, he'd play golf all day. That's what he wanted to do. He had a brother that started a company and become a multimillionaire. Gene Olson, my father-in-law, had no interest in that. He just wanted to work a job, bowl, you know, and golf on Saturday. And that was his life. That's what he enjoyed doing. He was a good man. He was a good Lutheran. Can you say amen? There's some people, they have income inequality because that's what they want. And when I became a preacher, I knew I'd probably never have anything, but I was okay because I was called and I just wanted to do what God called me to do. It turned out that God got tired of me being poor and humble, and so he started blessing me. And the more I gave away, the more he blessed. And in 2017, a man came along and gave me a house worth over $1 million. And I was so embarrassed, I didn't want to move into it because I was so proud of being poor and humble. I mean, you can almost sin the other way. Oh, I'm poor and humble. I don't want to be blessed. Well, God has blessed me anyway. And I'm going to tell you right now, God's no respecter of persons. If you know me, you know there's nothing special about me. Except Jesus. And you have the same Jesus. And some people worry about various things, just know Jesus. In America, we have the freedom to move up the ladder. Training, going to college, hard work, all make a difference. Some had rather use drugs, abuse alcohol, and party. Therefore, they live on the street. You have income inequality because a lot of people choose it. They'd rather shoot up drugs and chase wild women or wild men. Smoke everything that they can and just let it all hang out. And then people come along and say, well, this is because of the evils of capitalism. No, it's not. It's because people choose poverty. Some people choose to live a life that will destroy them and destroy them economically, financially. I made up my mind many years ago, East Church was still over there, that I was going to go downtown. I was going to bring all the homeless into church. I was going to get them all saved, spirit-filled, give them all a bath, help them get some training, and go to work. How many know that's a noble goal? The only problem is, very often, they don't want that. They like exactly what they're doing. I bused in up to 150. I sent 3 buses downtown. About every homeless person in Knoxville, or at least a big percentage of them, were in this church. They wouldn't, there's a mission there, they could go take a bath. On Sunday morning, they would not go over and take a bath. They'd come to church dirty with an unbelievable odor. The odor was so bad in the church, people came to me and said, we can't breathe. So you're going to have to do something. So we installed charcoal filters in the air conditioners and the heating system, and it made it a little better. We did this for like a year or two. I don't remember how long we did do it. And they would stand on the sidewalk when our members come in and smoke and blow smoke on our members. And we had a hallway right down through here on that side, and it went into the bathrooms. And the ladies were afraid to go to the bathroom because these guys were standing, most of them were men, all of them were men. They would stand, I remember, they'd all stand there in the hallway and stare at the women and make silly comments and stuff, and they were afraid to even go to the bathroom. And so these people would stand and brag about, well, the only reason we come is because of the free food. We cook food for all of those people every Sunday. And they kept saying, well, the only reason I'm coming is for the food. And I thought, well, after about a year or so, I'm gonna check that out. I'm going to check this out. And so I announced, next Sunday, we're not going to be cooking. We will come and get you and bring you to church, but we'll not be coming. Guess how many showed up? About five. They didn't want our help. After a year or two, they were still coming dirty. They weren't taking a bath. They were not interested in getting a job and going to work. They were totally content just to be the way they were on the street. And there's four or five of them got cleaned up, got good jobs, but the rest of them, that was what they chose. Now, some people are mentally ill that's on the street, and some we brought in here were mentally ill. And I identified quite well with them. And that's because the secular humanists got the idea that these people need to be free. We had Lakeshore, that where mentally ill people were kept. I went in there to visit some people, and I was able to get out. Thank the Lord. And I would go over and visit with people. But the government was influenced to shut that down, and the people just went on the street. We got crazy people living on the street all over America because the government stuck their nose into something that they should have left alone. I mean, mentally ill people do not need to be on the street. And something needs to change about that now. Wanting to help everybody except the mentally ill. What's wrong with this country? And don't be trying to lock me up. But if some people need help, somebody say amen. Amen. So there's people on the street who just want to be there, and others are mentally ill and don't have any choice. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this. I'm just trying to show you what the Christian work ethic is. You don't have to believe it, but I'm telling you, this is what it is. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. The government needs to put up a big sign. In every government office, we're not giving you anything unless you get a job and go to work. Amen. We'll give you a little money to get you started and get you going, but you're going to have to get a job and go to work. Now, I'm talking about able-bodied people. There's some people that have physical problems. Some military people have their legs shot off. And people like that really need our help. And that's why it says that we are to support the needy. We're to give to people who can't work. The people who refuse to work, it says, do not feed them. And over the years, I've had several cases like this. But I remember one guy in particular really stood out. He had some talent and ability. He could really work and get things done. But he had a high temper, and he could be outright smart aleck. We got along just fine. But he would get into a battle with his boss and just stomp out and quit. That happened several times, and then he'd come to us. You got to help me because I don't have a job. And finally I said, the pastor, I mean, I don't normally handle that, but I got involved. I said, look, we're not giving you any more money until you get a job and keep it. Oh, he pouted. He got all upset about that. I said, no, you can work. You have talent and ability. You get out there and go to work and make your own bread. And that's what he did. If a guy will not work, don't feed him. I mean, everybody can get mad and quit. You got to hang in there and got to help you. John Uchai, like I said, he had many opportunities to quit because the bosses mistreated him. But every time the boss got fired, and God kept John right in the same position with the same company all these years. Quit depending on yourself and your ability and your talent, and the boss depend on God. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. When people do not work, they become busybodies. Okay. Verse 12, now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. That's the Christian work ethic. Well, I don't believe it. Well, it's worked in this country for 200 or 300 years. Okay. That's always been our work ethic in America. God says, do not feed the person who has the ability to work but won't. That's the key, ability to work but won't. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is not going to heaven. And it says, you're worse than somebody that's not going to heaven if you do not provide. Now, like I said, there's some people who can't, sick, have problems. We are to help them in any way we can. But God will help them most of all if they put their faith in him and not in the government and not in other people. Your faith has to be in God. Even infidels provide for their family. But we are to help those who honestly need help. Proverbs 28:27. I do preach whole messages on this, but I'll just throw this one in here. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing. God blesses people who bless needy people. If you want to be blessed, give to needy people. If you want to become a needy person, quit giving to needy people. You have a choice. You can be the one begging and always asking for help, or you can be the giver. That's your choice. If you'll start giving out of the little bit you now have, God will bless you and promote you, and you can become a giver, and you're the one giving to the needy and not being the needy that need everyone else to help you. And that's the way it works. If you want to be blessed, be a blessing. God, and here again, God has to direct you. You don't just go around giving to everybody, because you'll give to people that waste your money. And then when someone comes along that really needs your help, you won't have it. And that's one, that's the main thing with this church and giving. If we give all of our money to people who won't work, then when people who really need it need money, we won't be able to give them anything because we've already given it all away. Does that make sense? God promises to bless those who help people in trouble, but we cannot continue to help if they refuse to work. It is not the government's responsibility to feed people. It is our responsibility. It's the government's responsibility to protect us, and they're not even doing that. People being murdered all around us all the time, raped and murdered all over this country. Like, I mean, I've been around a long time and living the whole time in America. I've never seen such vicious crime all over the place. The government needs to step up and take care of this. And that's where we come in. We have got to get ourselves to the polls and vote for people who have a Christian ethic. Amen. The school board, that's the place to start. That's where our kids are really learning a lot of really crazy things, because we're too lazy to go vote for school board members. Get out and vote for good, godly school board members, and you can change the school. And have them taught Christian principles instead of Marxist principles. You see, God has given some people the gift of giving so they can help needy people. And we need to be giving in every way, and we need to take our responsibility also to make sure we elect people who keeps America free and who will give people the opportunity to continue to fulfill their God-given call. All men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And where'd that come from? From the Bible. It is God's will that all men be free so they can pursue their own dreams. God wants you to do what He's called you to do and what He wants you to do, not what the government wants you to do. He has plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope in a future. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope in a future." So how many of you want God planning your life and not the government? He's got a plan for me. But if I lived in China, they wouldn't let me do it. That's the big difference. Exodus chapter 3, verse 17. "I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt." Now this shows you God's plan. "And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into a land of the Canaanites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." The atheists would say God gave them land belonging to someone else. No, all land belongs to God, and He gives it to whom He pleases. God brought His people to the promised land because He wanted them to own property. And the Exodus out of Egypt, Exodus out of slavery, is symbolic of our deliverance from Satan's slavery, from the old slave master, the devil, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're delivered out of slavery. We bought and paid for. We now belong to the Lord. We belong to Him. And He has brought us out of Satan's affliction into a land flowing with milk and honey. He has a promised land for every one of us, a land flowing with milk and honey. It may never look like somebody else's promised land, but God has a place where you can be prosperous, where you can be happy and fulfilled in life. You just need to follow God, believe God, and like He led Abraham of old to his promised land, He'll lead you to yours. And just... Oh, okay. I didn't know if I should run or what. But anyway, the Exodus is symbolic of what has happened to you. God has brought you out of Satan's captivity and Satan's bondage and delivered you from Satan's strongholds so you can be free and live life. And you need to keep the government out of your way so you can fulfill the call of God on your life. And thank God, America, with all its problems, we still have that freedom. I wouldn't be able to preach this in China. I wouldn't be able to preach this in Cuba. I'd get shot. But America, with all of our problems, is still the best place on earth. And instead of criticizing America, we need to clean her up. Need to clean her up. Turn this thing around. And only the church is going to do that. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." Anybody believe that? It's up to God's people. It's up to the church. It's up to born-again believers. "I have said I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, out of the bondage of Satan, into a land flowing with milk and honey." A land, all land belongs to God, and He can bless us with any piece of it that He wants us to be blessed with. If you live in an apartment and you want to buy a house, ask God to give you a house, and He'll work it out so you can own your own property. You might even be able to buy the whole apartment complex that you live in. Let God lead you and guide you. He can bless you. You live in America. If you work hard and save you money, you could buy the whole apartment complex. Okay. Get a vision, get a dream. Little Joseph I preached about the other day. He was able to accomplish great things because he started with a dream. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." That's what Joseph was living out. It sure didn't look too good at first, but when he came to the end of his situation, he was promoted to governor over Egypt. Joshua chapter 14, verse 11. Can y'all listen fast? Okay, listen fast. Okay. I'm running out of time. "I am still as strong today," that's Caleb. "Caleb, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out." Listen to this. "I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. God blessed Caleb and kept him healthy and well until he was 85 so he could go in and take the promised land. Why did he have to wait? Because God couldn't take him in until all the doubters and unbelievers died off. And when they all died off, there was two left that had believed God, just two, Joshua and Caleb. And they got to go into the promised land. And Caleb said to Joshua, God promised me this land over here. And I want you to give me permission. Joshua was God's leader, and so Caleb felt a need to get his permission. He said, I want you to give me permission to take what God promised me. And he says, I'm still able at 85 to do it because God promised me that, and he has kept me healthy and well so I could do it, so let me do it. Joshua said, go. And so he went in and took that land. It just so happened that's the land where the giants lived. That's what caused Israel to turn and refuse to go into the promised land. And Caleb says, let me at them. And he went in and took it. Because God said, you can have it. Just because God gives you a promise doesn't mean you can go sit on the sofa and drink tea. Okay. And we like sweet tea. Oh, thank God for sweet tea. Just don't overindulge. Okay. But you got to go to work. Poor boy I was, grew up on a farm. I was chopping wood, milking cow, chasing pigs when everybody else was playing football. I was the star of nothing. Nobody, most people didn't even know who I was. And I had to make up my mind, am I going to be content just to do nothing? Or I'm going to follow the dream of God? And God's called me to be a preacher, and I'm going to do the best I can. So I went to college. Why are you going to college? God calls you to preach. You don't need to go to college. I said, well, I want to be the best educated preacher I possibly can. I don't want to be ignorant. And I may not be the smartest knife in the drawer, sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can learn. So I went to college. Had to work my way through. My daddy wouldn't give me one dime. He said, I've got 8 kids. I can't afford to send. I was the oldest. I can't afford to send all 8 to college, so I'm not sending you. One excuse is as good as another. And so I said, okay, I don't care. So I just went to work my way through college. Seminary, I knew God wouldn't be a preacher. And I know some people call it a cemetery. And it can be if you're not really called to God. But I was called to God. And I actually went to seminary, fairly liberal. And God helped me and helped me pay my way. And I just kept going a few years ago, went back and got an earned doctorate. Why? Because I want to do the best I can. I want to be the best I can possibly be in what I'm doing. So, well, you're not the best. Well, I'm trying to be the best. Verse 14. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb ever since because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Here's the key. Wholeheartedly. Because he, Caleb, followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. And I hope at the end of my days they can say, Barry Cumberson followed the Lord, the God of his God, followed the Lord wholeheartedly. You see, God has a promised land for all of his people, and no government has a right to take it away. We're born free, so let's just stay free. Once it's gone, you won't ever get it back. Karl Marx, in the Communist Manifesto, you can Google it and read it just like I did. Karl Marx, in the Communist Manifesto, writes, and I read it and wrote this quote directly from the Communist Manifesto. He says, in this sense, the theory of the communists may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property. The number one goal of the communists and the Marxists is to take away everything you own and make you their slave. That's it. I read it right from the Communist Manifesto. The goal of the Marxist is to take over all businesses, companies, corporations, private property, and all political power. How do I know that? Soviet Union, China, you know, Cuba, North Korea, and many other communist nations. They all take away all the private property. The government owns everything, and you have to get their permission practically to go to the bathroom. You want that in America? It's coming. It's on the way. They're teaching this stuff in our schools right now. We can stop it. by praying and voting for godly people. People who believe in the parable of the talents, that's a good place to start. You need to teach this to your children, the parable of the talents. That's God's plan for your life. Take what you have and multiply it. You see, this is what they did in the Soviet Union, in China and Cuba. They took away all private property. There are people right now in America advocating for the abolition of private property. In the July issue, the July 2020 issue of Teen Vogue, they're really going after our teenagers. There was an article advocating the end of private property. I saw it and read it. End of people owning their own house, their own property. That's where America, that's not where America's going. That's where some people trying to force America to go. We're America. We can say no. And you can't be quiet anymore. You got to start speaking up. I'm going with God. I'm going with the Bible. I'm staying free. When I was coming along, Soviet Union was a great threat, and I heard people all the time saying, "I'd rather be dead than red. Better be dead than red. I'd rather be dead and be a slave to the government." So in the July, you can Google this stuff and look it up just like me. In the July 2020 issue of Teen Vogue, there was an article advocating the end of private property. Once the government takes over private property, they have total control of our lives. We become their slaves. The communist code words are income inequality. And you hear that every day all over the place in America. Of course, everybody doesn't believe it, but there's people trying to force that on us. Better wake up. Income inequality and abolition of private rights. When you hear those two things, run like crazy because you really are in danger. The communist code words, listen for them, are income inequality and abolition of private property. When you hear these words, take off. Cuba, believe it or not, some of them actually said it. I've read their writings. Cuba is their model because they have equity forced on them by the government. So they want us to be like Cuba, to have the government forcing us to all be equal and all own nothing. Yeah, just like in Cuba. But the thing is, the Cuban people hate it. They're always trying to escape and get out of there. And their goal is to come to America. If America is such a horrible place, why is everybody trying to come here? Because of all our problems, it's still the best place on earth. If the Marxists take America, all freedom will be gone from the entire world. Because America has been the one that's protected the small little nations all over the whole world, keeping them free. America rebuilt Europe. America's an evil place. They want to dominate the whole world. Lie, lie, lie. Because if they wanted to, they could have taken over all of Europe. America had taken all over Europe because they were annihilated. But instead, we rebuilt them and let them keep their freedom. We're free? What do you say? We just stay free. It is God's plan for every man to be blessed, every woman to be blessed by working hard and providing for himself and family. All men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Just don't give them up. It is God's will that we all be free so we can pursue our own dreams, just as in the case of the parable of the talents. Let's all stand.